I mean, the whole movie, she does an excellent job, and it really must require a lot of prior
nipple play.
Nipple play.
Because how are they hard the whole time?
How did she train her nipples?
How did she train those nips? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Netflix Book Club podcast. If you're saying, where's Mike going? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't worry. He's right here. Give it up for Mike Toohey, everybody.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here. You know me. Best day of my life.
Greatest day of the week, dude.
When I get to record this podcast.
It's St. Patrick's Day. It's a pretty good day today. Everyone's wearing green.
A toodly dee 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 dee.
Whoa, dude.
I listened to some Irish music this morning, and this is my best.
What were you listening to this morning?
It went something like.
Or you just put on like Irish music radio.
Dee 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 dee.
Okay.
Some river dancing.
I feel like he's being offensive to his own people. Follow Mike on Instagram @_MikeToohey. Come on, sure. Mike. Return the favor. Come on.
Oh, that's Dennis Rooney 7 only on Instagram and Threads. These are the only ones.
I am on Threads. That's true.
And follow the pod, Netflix Book Club podcast.
Yeah, see the whole schedule, which is always up for mismanagement, guys, because if you're tuning in to hear Fried Green Tomatoes, you're shit out of luck. We're doing something else. But before we get to that,
okay,
let's introduce our guest. He's introduced, did I say? And let's introduce our guest, stand-up comedian, writer, director, right? Ooh, filmmaker? I guess,
technically, no.
Yeah, come on.
I can call it. I was in a film fest where I got those credits. So,
if you're in a film festival, you get to take, that's like being MD. You're a doctor from here on out.
Yeah.
Podcaster? Now you are.
Today you are.
Yeah, now I am. Hell I was a podcaster, and then that became my web series instead. So.
Oh, you up? Mike, you think we should do that? Turn this into a live action pod?
We set the camera up. Maybe one day we'll show people this. Say his name.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jack Adam.
Thank you. @JackAdamComedy.
There you go. @JackAdamComedy. Is that across the board or you got...
Yeah, I think that's... Well, I think I really only have Instagram, so...
Yeah.
No, Netflix.
Did you get off X? Did you get off X?
Yeah, I think I'm off X.
Yeah, I got off them years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm still tweeting.
Are you tweeting into the void?
I tweet into the void,
Hit us with one from recently. I'd love to hear a tweet.
Oh, geez.
A Toohey tweet.
Recently, one that
follow
I...
Follow Mike on Twitter, on X.
_MikeToohey. I don't know. A tweet recently... I don't want to mess it up. The wording is so crucial.
Oh, yeah.
On a tweet. And I don't remember them. I mean, it's like, you know, do you remember crumpling up a piece of paper and getting it in the basket?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, do you remember every piece of paper you threw into a basket that went in?
Oh, no.
No, that's what I mean. It's like, it might have been a decent tweet. I don't know. I just throw it on.
You got nothing from recently you
could throw out? Well, there was, I'm remembering one, but I don't want to mess up the wording.
It's
anyway,
one offensive one you've ever written?
It was,
I can't say that one.
My disco ball is broke. I need a discotheque. Discotheque?
Hey, man.
That's a tweet.
That's not bad.
I saw that one.
Oh, thanks for the like, this guy.
I think he's saying he saw someone else post it. He's accusing you of thievery.
Well, that is, that I'm not doing.
I had a tweet that I was like, I wish maybe I had X that I could have done, but I put it on Facebook instead. Got 22 likes.
22 likes?
22 likes. Joe DeVito being one of them, I'll add.
That's a high, that's a high praise from Joe DeVito. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
What was it?
It was for 2 weeks now, I've been watching about a minute of the show Dirty Jobs every day. I've been Mike Rowe dosing.
See, that's a pun. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and then I said, "Come see me live," and I think the "Come see me live" with the exclamation point made the
There's something about puns that comedians can't help ourselves.
Right.
But goddamn, does it make you? If you're not the one doing it, you're like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
But in conversation, I'll always go for a pun. If it's in the act for like a little too long, I have to check myself.
Are you a big Dirty Jobs guy? Do you watch that a lot?
I watched it as a like maybe a kid if it was just on in the background, but I never go out of my way to watch it.
Sure. No, I was just thinking this movie's got some Dirty Jobs in it, would you say?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I think Mike Rowe was in this movie. Keeping all the steampunk stuff working.
Well, I was trying to just shoehorn this movie that we saw into the conversation.
I thought you did a great job. I thought you did a great job, you poor thing.
Episode, there we go, 197.
197. Do we have to make a plan for the 200th episode? Dual suicide?
In HD?
In HD.
In 4K?
That's a worry we're having, actually, Jack, is that this camera is too good.
Oh, yeah?
People, yeah, I think I got to be, like, camera ready when I show up, you know? I got to make sure I'm completely clean shaven.
Use some makeup.
Something in my tooth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I literally just woke up from a nap.
Yeah, dude, I woke up and walked out the door in 5 minutes and sat in an hour of traffic down here.
Yeah, I saw
I might
text.
Still be asleep, I don't know.
Jack's like, I'm in the building. I'm like, oh, shit.
Jack was Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. He was just creeping around the building, sending you cryptic notes.
Yeah, he had suction cups on the outside of the windows in my bedroom. I'm like, oh, hey, Jack.
Do glass cutters work? Can we talk about a movie trope before we start this? Is that a real thing? I've always wondered, because it was used so often in so many movies.
Yeah.
Where, like, you could suction cup up the side of a building and then, like, X-Acto knife a hole in
puss,
the thing.
Puss in Boots in Shrek 2.
I never seen Shrek 2, dude. I stopped. Purist. The best Shrek. Shrek purist.
It was the best Shrek.
I doubt that, dude.
Whoa, that's hot take.
Yeah. I don't think that's a hot take at all.
Chris Farley's rolling over in his grave right now because he was supposed to play Shrek originally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been as good if he was in it?
Probably. I think it would have been very different. There would be no Scottish accent.
That's right. I don't think it would have been as good.
It might not. I don't know. So you heard it here first. Jack Adam is happy Chris Farley passed when he did, ladies and gentlemen. This way he got some Shrek 2 in his life. That might not be an unpopular opinion. I think you're a little younger than me, right? Younger than us.
Yeah, it could be just because it was my generation. Yeah. Was more Shrek 2 than Shrek
1. Like, that's, people love SpongeBob, and I'm like, I just missed that shit.
Right,
like, I was just
right.
starting to, like, get high and be like, I'm not watching fucking...
Yeah. I was prime SpongeBob, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I missed... SpongeBob missed me completely.
Yeah. Yeah, now I'm all in on SpongeBob. Doing my SpongeBob podcast.
After he came out as gay.
Dennis, did SpongeBob come out as gay?
Dennis chose to. Yeah, yeah.
He really did?
Yeah, yeah, officially.
What? Like, in the show, was he gay?
I mean, this is... You know this.
Or is this, like, retcon?
You don't know this either?
No.
Mike, what websites are you reading, dude?
No, yeah. this is
common knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, common knowledge.
I also know that from just seeing on the, I'm pretty sure Lois fucks Cleveland, and you know,
like that's,
like,
canon.
That's canon now.
That's not just a Pornhub movie.
I'm pretty sure that might just be a. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's where I saw it.
The cartoon stuff never. I never understood it.
I don't know. I think it's like a side thing. I think it was a spinoff.
Well, if cartoon sex turns you off, this movie must have been way worse.
No, this is real sex. This is, like, some of the closest real sex I've ever seen on film, I think. Remember when we did Saltburn and you were like, how close do you have to get to pornography before it's just like, this is pornography?
Yeah.
I was reminded of you saying that during some scenes in this movie.
Hold on, did we say the movie?
Poor Things.
Poor Things.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we did.
Well, I don't know if we did.
I don't know. We got a synopsis. There's a lot of fucking.
I guess they know. I guess they know it. Oh, wait, I got a synopsis.
He's got one, folks.
Stand by. This is good radio. Brought back to my life.
It's a podcast, not radio.
Can I read?
AM.
Brought back to life by an Orthodox scientist, a young woman runs off with a lawyer on a whirlwind adventure across the continents. Free from the prejudices of her time, she grows steadfast in her purpose to stand for equality and liberation.
That's got to be unorthodox, right? I just want to make sure.
It is certainly unorthodox.
I'm like, oh, so I'm going to take the brain and I'm going to put it in the woman's body.
Yeah.
My strings on my pants are in the way. Hold on.
It's a little on the nose, that character, at times.
God?
God. When?
Daddy God.
Yeah. Daddy God.
Yeah.
Calling him daddy's already enough. Then she's calling him God.
And he's got the cross scar.
Yeah, he's got, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the Frankenstein part of this movie.
His father did the same to him, kind of.
Right.
Crazy
stuff. He felt like if Frankenstein became a scientist.
Yeah, yeah. If Frankenstein got a doctorate.
It's like when, like, people that molest people were also molested.
Yeah, hurt people,
that's
hurt people.
That's what it feels like. Yeah, that's what it
feels like. Frankenstein going Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I think is the official motto of this movie.
I liked all the Frankenstein stuff. I liked all that stuff.
Did you like the movie, Mike?
Why does it always come to me? Why does it come to me so goddamn early? How about you, Dennis? Did you like the fucking movie? Unbelievable.
See, I told you, evolution in the pod. Go back 100 episodes. I say shit like that to Mike. I don't know, because especially a movie like this, I'm like, you keep me on my toes, Mike. I don't, like, if I'm, I'd be very surprised if Jack Adam, filmmaker, very bright guy,
Stand-up comedian.
If he doesn't like this movie, then I'm perplexed, because this movie seems to be universally loved right now, at least in the film community, you know.
Well, the Oscars. They won 4 Oscars.
Yeah. I always consider my place in enjoying film two steps below snobbery and maybe one step above the average moviegoer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think Jack...
And if you didn't pay for it...
That's a nice place to be.
I think it's a good... What'd you say?
Yeah. Nah. No, Jack, it doesn't matter. It was so stupid.
Right, okay.
I was going to rhyme snobbery with robbery, and it was going to kill.
Oh, yeah, the puns went over huge at the top of the pod, so let's keep them coming, boys.
Yeah, it was more of a rhyme scheme.
Mike's only interested in comedic techniques that are taught in AP English class. But, like, yeah, so if Jack doesn't like this movie, I'm going to be a little surprised. If you, I could see you going either way. Well, ever since the holdovers, Mike, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think yet.
Ooh, what were your takes on that?
Mike did not like it. I loved it. Made me cry.
I didn't love it.
All right, I'm in between.
Okay.
Because I didn't, while I was watching it, I was like, this is a little much. But then afterwards, I was like, I wish I could watch that movie again.
And you can't.
So.
Unfortunately,
those are the rules.
Right? They said Paul Giamatti made the movie on one explicit, tangible, contractual rule.
You can only watch this movie once.
March 17th, it goes away. Yeah. Forever and ever. Yeah, so, and that's
what it kind of sounds like you're a little bit in the middle for this movie.
I'm going to give it a stream it. I think, especially for this year, I think if you want to have any chance of, you know, sweet-talking some Bushwick lady, I can't wait to say to some girl, damn, you're acting like some Bella Baxter-ass bitch right now, you know? Aloof-ass, stupid-ass. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is this movie's in the public conversation right now. Like you said, it just won 4 Oscars, right?
Best Actress for Emma Stone, production, costume, makeup?
If those are the 4, I agree with all 4.
I believe those are the 4.
But I don't think the movie is without faults, which I'll get to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was good. I liked it. You know, as one of my usual complaints, one of, I feel like, often complaints most people, a little too long. I could have used it a little shorter.
2 hours and 20 is pretty long.
But when you're making a movie like this, it's like, yeah, you're going to be self-indulgent. Yeah. I mean,
especially when it's based on a novel. Like, I don't know what the novel is like, but it feels like it was probably a pretty good adaptation of the novel.
Yeah,
like that. While I was watching, I didn't know it was an adaptation, but I was like, "This." I feel like the stuff that you're reading would only nobody was that wants to write a movie is like, "I'm gonna write this." It's people who write a book that's like, "I'm gonna write this."
Yeah,
and it was like more of like a 5-act structure than the normal like 3-act structure that we see.
Yeah,
so I think that's why it felt long.
It did have the thing of a book where, you know, they had the tiny little bridging scenes of like, now we're in London,
right?
And it's her just in some dreamscape.
But
whatever.
That's also like the old school movies.
Yeah, that's true too. The old change school of location. It's like, let's do a little title card.
Yeah, the old school black and white and the Frankenstein. There was a lot of nods to that, like literal scenes from those movies.
Have you either of you seen the original Frankenstein or any of the older Frankenstein movies?
A million years ago.
Yeah,
I definitely did, but a million years.
I played Igor in my 5th grade play. That's
he's like the assistant, right?
Yes.
How'd it go?
Standing ovation.
Standing ovation.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Just for your part, or
just for my part?
Yeah.
They put down the pitchforks for him after us. They're like, we like it.
Do you remember any of the any big lines? Your favorite line?
I had to sing "Putting on the Ritz."
Oh, nice. Dancing too?
Yeah.
Is this?
This was young Frankenstein.
I never seen that.
So, yeah. This was what was
we
the
should
Mel
do
Brooks
that for
one
the pot.
Actually called? Was that one called? That
we
one
can, we can do it.
That one wasn't called Young Frankenstein.
The one with
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks. That's
what it was. I thought it was.
That's Young Frankenstein. Right?
Oh, okay. Then this was Little Frankenstein.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever the younger version of that was.
Yeah. Little Young Frankenstein.
Wee Frankenstein. Frankensteinette.
My mom sewed a pillow to my shirt, so I had
I was going to say, did you give a little crown?
Yeah,
you probably did kill it.
Yeah. And then some moms were like, we need it. We can't have an able bodied person playing this role. And
oh, my God.
It was disgusting.
So then you had
to. Wait, really?
No.
Oh, I was going to say. How young are you?
Nowadays, I thought for a second you were going to go with, and I would have believed it, where it had been like, we can't even display Igor as having a physical handicap because, I don't know.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because that girl in 3rd grade has the same shit, and we don't want her feeling any kind of way.
Yeah, do you have a brain of a 17-day-year-old?
Emma Stone especially. I'd say she deserves Best Actress for this.
Yeah, anybody that has to get their nipple licked by Mark Ruffalo deserves an Oscar.
Was that her nipple?
Emma,
that's a very good question.
Because it cuts in, and her face is out of shot. Is it a stand-in nipple?
We'll have to go. Yeah, I'm curious if it's a stand-in nipple, they had to go no, like sift through people's nipples.
Yeah,
and needed a very accurate double.
She's naked for a lot of this movie. Mm-hmm. She is Emma Nips Out Stone.
Yeah,
right. It might as well.
What makes you think that one moment?
Well, there's a lot. It's a big difference between like having like skin colored bikini on and like riding on top of someone on bed, and then having the same dude licking your nipple. Like it's it's in the same ballpark. Don't get me wrong, but it's like cheap seats versus box seats, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so much, and there's one thing is nipples, and they are out, but also she's like orgasming.
Yeah,
you know, like a bunch.
Yeah.
So I just, and she's a producer on this movie.
Yeah, maybe it's her idea. She's like, if I'm gonna be fucking, I gotta get my nips.
Yeah, the way I'm thinking is like, no, she actually banged Ruffalo, not that on camera, but like, you know, they probably. I mean, I don't know. She went for it. She won the Oscar. Producer on the movie.
Her getting her nipple licked is like the same as Leonardo DiCaprio eating the raw fish
or cutting his hand.
did he cut his hand really in a movie?
Which Django. One was it? Django. When he's screaming at the table. Yeah.
And that was an accident, though.
Right. That was an accident.
True.
Yeah, but Leo was like, I gotta eat the fish.
Maybe the lick was improv.
Maybe, right?
Wait, in Wolf of Wall Street?
The one where it's him and Tom Hardy. Yeah, him and Tom Hardy in the snow, wolf pelts, Native Americans. You know it.
Yeah.
Flower Moon? I didn't see it.
No, I didn't see that yet either.
The Revenant,
yeah. You ever see that one?
With the bear?
I saw the bear fight, but I didn't see the whole movie.
Worth a watch, first of all. Watch it on a nice TV.
Another movie with wide-angle lenses, supposedly. Like that.
Yeah.
Which is very, very in vogue.
It is in vogue. Wow, Jack Adams bringing a sense of... See, this is what I'm talking about.
It's great. It's fucking great. I feel like I'm sitting down with Yorgos Lanthimos right now.
Hey, good...
How do you like that?
I wouldn't have been able to say that.
You reading it off the page is so good. Yorgos Lanthimos.
The damn visual element.
I know.
Without that, they'd have no idea. They would have just thought I said it and knew it.
I had to call you out. I had to let the listeners know.
Dude, I got to say, this guy Yorgos, Mr. Yorgos Lanthimos, he's a creep. I think this guy's a creep. Have you seen Killing of the Who Knows What Now? The Sacred Deer?
No.
That's this guy, Killing a Sacred Deer, yes. The Lobster, and did he do Dogtooth?
I saw The Lobster.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I need to watch Dogtooth.
Dogtooth is worth a watch, but I haven't seen it now in like 10 years, so maybe I would watch it now and be like, that was 24-year-old Dennis being like, this is cool. I don't know. Right. I bet it's still pretty good.
I have a feeling this guy's a little a weirdo.
Well, he certainly likes fucked up Tom. He's not interested in like, I think the most normal thing he did was The Favorite, which I did not see. I hope we're not fucking up this director. I feel like we were talking about him last episode, weren't we?
Fucking him up and how? No, where's...
You look this up. You know this
every
is...
movie you've said so far, I believe I saw
okay,
was his.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. I don't want to embarrass myself in front of director Jack Adam, right?
That's true. He seems
He's
to
in
know.
Vogue right now.
Yeah.
I'm not picking on you for saying in vogue. It was just...
Yes, you are.
It was so easily rolled off the tongue. I was like, I would never be able to pull that off. That's why.
Anyway.
I got a movie podcast called Netflix.
You need to join
Book
my
Club.
Round tables.
So
sign up for the Discord.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I did like the movie. I liked the Frankenstein stuff.
Yeah.
And I you know, but here it comes, you know what I mean?
This is what I want. Yeah, this is
And
good
I don't
me,
think I'm a prude, you know?
Uh-huh.
But it was a tremendous amount of sex.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of sex. And I get it. Also, like, you're developing, like, literally her brain or whatever, but also the character and all this stuff. But at a certain point, I'm just like, I don't know now what we're doing. And it hit me when the girl goes down on her. This scene.
And you start looking at your phone. You're like, there's two beautiful women on screen going down at each other. And you're like, how much time is left in this movie?
I'm half kidding.
My point being,
you take that scene out, there's exactly the same movie. It doesn't do anything. So, like, why did we just got to watch that just because why not?
I guess because you kind of you have to have her with a woman at some point in this movie. If it's going that crazy. Yeah, if she's coming at sex from every angle.
But it's also post the Enlightenment phase of the philosophy, and I think she's becoming more in touch with herself as a woman. So to have a woman's love, I think, is solidifying her how she identifies herself in relationship to men.
Well, it's another orgasm for Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board. We're up to 19, I think. Hey, hit him.
Oh, I'm so happy we don't use that one often. He shoots, he scores!
Was it the buzzer?
He shoots, he scores.
Nice, nice. Also, if she's condensing if she say at the end of the movie is what, 30? I don't know. What would you say, guys?
What?
Yeah, probably.
She's
30.
Supposed to be. Well, oh. I think they say it's like the body of a 30-year-old woman or something like that.
Yeah.
But she's catching up mentally. She starts as like a 2-year-old basically or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So if she's condensing an entire maturing of womanhood, you got to have the female and female experience. She doesn't go to college. She goes to a whorehouse in France to do it.
That's right.
But yeah, most girls have a, you know.
Yeah, it just felt like, okay, that was for.
But I'm with you too, where I do. I remember that scene and thing like, I feel like this is kind of inconsequential to the entire film.
That's, I'm just like, okay, you know, they could have been like, so at the end, obviously she's sitting in the garden with her.
Yeah.
But if you take out that scene where they hook up, she could still be in that garden. You wouldn't for 1 second go, why is she there? Or yeah, I didn't realize how close they were.
I didn't, I didn't take them as being like, at the end, being lesbian lovers still.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure about that because like that could be the like Garden of Eden or whatever the hell you want to say, and it's like these are her lovers and she has him, the guy, and the woman. I don't either way.
Maybe.
But possible. Then there's another scene, and this is where I get.
I mean, I'd be happy for that scientist if he was like, if Emma Stone was like, I'd like to bring in this French chick, and he was like, he's like, listen, I can't believe how lucky I've gotten this entire film. Yeah. Sure. I've been herbed a little bit, but in the end, I'm getting laid. You know, I get to. Yeah. So.
And I appreciate all the science stuff. Like she put science into the sex. She put science into everything's an experiment. Everything's a learning. Like that was awesome.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. But then there's this other one, and I guess you could argue that it's a science angle. That's why I'm prefacing with it. But the scene when the man comes in with his two sons. What are we doing here? What is the character development of her? That she knows how to get a guy off? We know that by that point. We know she knows. So we have to watch these. Kids watch their father not only teach about a woman's body and sex, but have an orgasm. Like they need to learn that their dad needs to be choked to come. I'm sorry, Yorgos, but I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? Why? Like that's the director making sure that happens to me.
I'll say this, and this is a small spoiler for Dogtooth, so I apologize, but it's a small one. Similar thing plays out in Dogtooth.
Are you kidding me?
A similar thing plays
out in Dogtooth. Because I was going to say in The Killing of the Sacred Deer, there's a weird sex thing with the dad and son.
What part? I don't remember that.
So he's trying to get his son to tell him a secret.
Uh-huh.
And he admits Colin Farrell's character. Farrell?
Yeah.
Farrell?
Yeah.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hey!
So he tells a story about him jerking off his father to completion.
Oh, yeah.
And he's trying to get his son to give him a deep, dark
Yorgos,
secret.
What are you doing?
Yeah, and I'm like, what is this? What's up with this freaking
guy? Well, you know what? It's the dark recess of mind. It's probably more common than we think, and it's one of those things where it winds up in film, kind of. I also think that...
Every one of his films.
For clearly. But in Dogtooth, it's more of like this... This patriarch of his family has grown his kids in total isolation and has given them completely skewered ideas of what the world is like outside of this compound that he grows them up in.
Very parallel.
Very parallel, again, true. Yeah. And he brings in a prostitute to have sex with his kid. He doesn't watch, so maybe it's not that similar, but it's still fairly... like, all right, son, I'm going to walk you through
a lot of similarities.
Sexual maturing.
A lot of similarities.
It's also
sure.
like, if you think about it, Bella didn't have any, like, not that what the son was, the father was doing with their sons, but was good. But like Bella didn't have any of that, like sex education.
Total crash course for her.
Yeah, it's not even a crash course. It's just like it's her on her own figuring out what's right for her and whatnot. When these boys are like, this is how you do this. You know.
I mean, it's kind of. So, it wasn't. It didn't feel like nefarious in a way of the dad. It felt like the dad was like, sons, I have to show you how to please a woman.
Considering
very French.
Considering what they were showing.
Yeah.
Yes, it was sort of like this. Almost makes sense, but no,
it makes me
want to
go. It makes me want to ask somebody I know who's French. Be like, is that a thing over there? Where are you from? Is that?
I assure you.
Well, maybe listen. The French only got rid of. Death by a public guillotine in like the 60s. So people might have been doing this in the 20s or 30s. You don't know. Shit's crazy.
Well, and this is supposed to be through the 1800s. Is that when these philosophies were?
I think so.
It's through the 1800s.
It's also like an alternate history, obviously. It's fucking James and the Giant Peach steampunkish stuff.
So, but outside of those things, I liked all the other stuff. Yeah. I liked the science aspect.
Did you feel
and
like
Frankenstein.
It was banging you over the head, though, with too much like.
Listen, it's women and women first, to quote. Portlandia or whatever. Do you know the sketch?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But which, fine, it's a women empowerment movie. That's okay. Like, you know, that's good for them, you know. So, yeah, I mean, a little heavy-handed. I mean, that theme, they're knocking you over the head. They're turning a general who's a strong, violent, you know, very, that the patriarchy into a goat at the end of the movie. You know?
How did you guys feel with him showing up at the end? Did you feel like that was tacked on?
No,
it was cool.
No, I thought it was great.
I was kind of cool. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
I liked how they didn't over-foreshadow it, too, because they only had that one lady recognizing.
That was very small, yeah,
and then,
yeah.
And then, like, you kind of forgot about it, but, like, maybe you could be like, oh, like, once you walk in, you're like, oh, I know who that guy is.
Yeah, you go, you see the lady saying that to her early on, and you go, oh, that's probably Chekhov's gun, you know, like,
right,
that's
gonna of go. Course, yeah.
But then so much of the movie happens where you're like, oh, that might have just been a small, like, reminder, wink of, like, hey, right, this used to be somebody else. Yeah,
right.
Honestly, that was the only part of the movie where I felt a little bit like, I was almost, not cheap, but, like, They forced a thing in there because we know from the very beginning that her history has not been told to us accurately.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. So it's like, oh, I guess, you know, to keep that story.
But without the general coming in, there wouldn't have been like a finale to the movie.
No, true. Yeah, it was cool. And shooting himself in the foot, it's awesome.
Unless she went the other way, and I'm happy they didn't, where she comes home and like kills Godwin or something.
That would have been against the science of it all.
Right.
Because it's like, she doesn't resent him. He was...
Right. You gave me life.
Perfectly well-intended.
It's like, it's fucked up. We have a fucked up relationship. You're still my father. You brought me this world.
She smells formaldehyde. It's the only place she feels like home.
Yeah, it reminds me of home.
Sick.
I have one problem with the general coming around at the end, and it's not even with the general. I agree with you guys, I think. I like the general at the end. It just felt very... It happened very fast. It happens in the last like 15, 20 minutes of a 2-hour
movie. I was a fan of that movie. I didn't need a whole full thing.
And maybe I'd be saying it the other way if I was like, well, we got a fucking 45 minutes now. But the one thing I didn't care for really was he comes around, he starts making demands, already setting off kind of a bad vibe. You know, she's about to get married to this guy. And she, like, what's her motivation to go off with him?
Curiosity.
Just curiosity, just more science.
Yeah, and anti-marriage. She's anti every establishment, or at least
I wouldn't say she was anti marriage.
She seemed at the end. Actually, the whole movie, she's like, prove to me
why an establishment is the way, it is, or like why this societal norm is that way.
Maybe just curiosity of what brought her to be jumping off that bridge. Yeah, maybe she knew it was going to be sour actually when she went over, and she kind of just wanted to see how bad it was.
Right. I mean, she found that she was cruel, which apparently she hates, or just that guy was cruel.
Right, right. Or maybe he brought the cruelness out of her.
But that also, like, the different, like, the three or four different male characters kind of represent the different kind of guys women have to deal with. Or, they see it. Because, like, the general brings, like, a sense of status to Bella, where, like, the other guys didn't want Bella for status.
Right.
The general wants her for status, which is, like, fully, like, denigrating her as a woman, I guess. And, of course, you know, to cut her clit off with a cigar cutter thing is just fully like, I don't want you for sex. I need you to like carry my seed.
Right.
Which is like, I like that extra element for like the meaning, maybe not story-wise. I mean, story-wise, I like it as a finale, but like that it needed that extra sense of meaning for the theme for it to be like a complete thematic story.
Come around full circle kind of. Yeah.
You can't turn him into a goat unless there was a threat of like your clit getting cut off.
Fuck
you know, like
guy,
anything else would have been a huge overreaction.
I also want to say 197 episodes finally got around to clitoral hood.
Yeah.
This is a women's podcast.
Oh,
all right.
It's women's month.
It's happy St. Women's month, everybody.
Happy St. Women's month.
Tweedledee-dee.
By the way, I told my girlfriend I was coming on this, and she's like, is there going to be a woman in the room?
What? Why? Oh, wait, because we're talking about poor things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we probably should have gotten a gal. But
listen, I went into it as...
I've been the gal this episode.
I'm trying to be as effeminate as possible for you guys, all right?
Yeah. Oh, that's why you're doing it? The only... I went into the movie really trying to not know too much about it anyway. I didn't even realize that was
I knew
the
nothing
theme.
About it.
Yeah,
absolutely
I didn't even know that, so...
I don't watch... Do you guys watch trailers? I don't.
Me neither. You and me have that in common.
Yeah.
I have a hard trailer rule.
And he's a movie man.
Hey, he's a filmmaker.
They give too much away. I want to see how they develop and bring everything out. I don't want to know what the theme is.
If a movie's coming out, I kind of know already whether I want to see it or not. It's very rare where I'm going to catch a trailer and be like, oh, this is not, you know. But
is there a different name for the really short trailers where they just kind of show you maybe the color? The teaser. Yeah, I mean, teaser's cool. I prefer a teaser.
But yeah, the thing with the trailer, I've said this before, there's two kinds of trailers. There's the one that literally walks you through the movie chronologically, or there's the collage one, which both of them give away too much. I don't 2.5 minutes of the best scenes of the movie, except for maybe they'll hold back something in Act 3 for you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no. So my rule with this is, if I really want to watch a trailer, I will watch it online, but I will only watch the first half. That's my rule. Okay. Wow. But also, like, if I go to the movie theater, I mean, I'm fucking there. I'm watching the trailer. It's not like I'm going to go to the behind the corner.
No, actually, no, there was one. I don't remember what movie it was, but I was, like, covering my ears and eyes. I didn't want to know anything, but I forgot what it was.
I'd almost more prefer, show me once, like, when they released The Dark Knight, you remember they released the first 5 minutes before, I think, the Star Wars movie or something?
Okay.
And it was just the first 5 minutes of the bank robbery, the Joker bank robbery. And I don't even know if it got up to like the school bus going through the building yet. But that alone is like, yeah, just show me that. Yeah. And it's like, I'm fucking it.
Yeah, sell me on the tone. I just want to
sell me on the tone. Yeah, yeah.
That's a cool way, though. I didn't realize they did that.
They do that once in a while. Only for like huge movies.
That can't give out. You're going to watch that first anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. It's like, so any spoiler you got is gone. You know? But you can't do that for every movie.
Sure.
And if you pick something in the middle, it's kind of hard to be like, it's not really, you know. Because then you're like, I guess this guy lives till 2 hours.
Right.
Something like that.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Did you guys get Cuckoo's Nest vibes from this movie?
Oh, it's been a while since I've seen Cuckoo's Nest.
Cuckoo's Nest? No,
I've watched
not so
it probably
much.
3 times in the past 2 years. So it's a
why so much?
I love.
That's another long one.
I don't think it's. Is it? I don't think it's as long. I think it's like 2 hours.
It's over two.
Is it over? Anyway,
I don't know.
Either way, I love that movie.
Me too. It's been a long time, but
The vibe I remember from Cuckoo's Nest, and again, I haven't seen it in like 10. Honestly, I saw it in high school, so we're talking 16 years.
Oh wow!
I know. But the vibe I always remember, and I know there were multiple layers to that movie kind of, but I always just remember the nurse vibe of like, I am kind of here as a good person, but I'm also like, I am the antagonist kind of this movie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't think she's there to actually help the people.
No, you hate her when you watch the movie.
Yeah. She, I think, because she also,
but I sympathize with her as a nurse who's like in a mental institution.
Yeah, she's like the god character.
Yeah,
of that movie.
Right.
And
right.
To me, like, Nicholson was, you know, it was basically Bell, and he's trying to break out of this thing with these fucked up creatures in there, and then the lobotomy scars at the end with the guy, the general that became the goat, was like the same thing where it's like, Bella getting her clit cut off was going to be the same as Nicholson getting the lobotomy at the end.
Right.
Where it's like that, the essence of her character is just taken away from her.
Yeah.
And then that spin was like making the man a goat was a nice like reversal where if like Nicholson won, that kind of would have been him getting back at Ratchet, sort of.
Interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah. There's some weird parallels there. I think we have to get into this at one point or another because the movie's like hysterical. Right.
Oh, it is very funny. Yeah.
There's parts of this movie and the things that they say.
Yeah.
And every time she's sitting down, supposed to be sophisticated, it's great. She comes up with some just wacky stuff. Yeah. All that to society norms.
I was
and all
just
that
laughing
stuff.
At her sleeves the whole movie. Honestly, puffy sleeves.
I'm glad you brought up the sleeves because she would need, I don't know, 100 suitcases.
Yeah.
Like she's traveling with one box. Where are these dresses?
And she's in the box at one point.
That's right.
Right. With all these dresses, with these enormous sleeves.
Also, that box. Barbie, when she gets put in the box, it's like the same moment.
Okay.
Did you see Barbie?
I did see Barbie.
When Will Ferrell puts, get in that box.
Yeah.
It's them like putting the woman into a box, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and then putting a woman in a box. Yeah,
but Barbie's is coffin shaped, so it's like the death of her exploration of
womanhood. Well, it's the shape basically of the original box of the Barbies coming.
Was it actually?
Yeah, which happened but to be still human-shaped, which human-shaped is coffin-shaped,
right,
folks.
That's right. That is true.
Wait a second.
All right. Don't try to force it, Jack Adam.
Mattel, the lady who invented Barbie, did not be like, this is the ideal woman that you should... She made Barbie to show like the absurdity of this,
of but it
like
went
this
opposite.
Ideal, yeah, exactly. But like when Emma Stone gets put in that box,
Emma Stone also willingly gets in the box,
right? Yeah, she willingly gets in the box because she doesn't know any better.
Yeah, she's fooled into getting in the box.
But Ruffalo, here's my hot artistic take.
Go.
So Ruffalo takes her onto the ship,
uh-huh,
and which is like trapping her. so she can't explore Europe like she wanted to, or, you know, have her own adventure. Brings her onto the boat. To me, her getting into that box and then going onto a boat is almost like a burial at sea. You know, where, and then where does the philosophy come in right when she gets out of that box? And it's a rebirth period, age of enlightenment, age of reason, where it's like that's the rebirth, and where Bella first becomes, starts to become a person of her own. Agreed? Any
are you, and
any
you're
thoughts?
Tying this back to Barbie, or are you just saying?
Well, in Barbie, it's the same thing. I mean, that's, it's supposed to be like her death and rebirth period. And then I think this
Barbie
is,
goes into the box believing in the corporation, and she comes out of the box being like, I can't trust these people.
I guess I don't remember when
Bella
she
goes into the box believing she could trust this dude to a degree, at least still. Yeah. And then she gets out of the box being like, oh no, I've been.
Right.
When does Barbie come out of the box?
Immediately. That's the thing. She goes into the box, they start tightening like the.
Yeah, because in my head, she doesn't actually ever go in. But
that's
so
what, she goes in, she like immediately steps out. She's like, actually, can I use the bathroom?
Yeah.
Like, you go ahead, Barbie.
Sure. Well, I preferred Bella's dancing.
Yeah.
Dude, I actually really enjoyed that dancing scene.
No, all that was so good and so funny.
Because there wasn't too much. If there was like a lot of dancing in the movie, I would have been like, I've got it. I got it.
Right.
But the one dancing scene is very good. Ruffalo was a great shmup.
I was going to say, and him like trying to make the dance like they're, it's great.
Tell you the one character actor who I did not care for.
Gerard Carmichael.
And I don't care for him in a lot of things.
Hold on, who?
Gerard Carmichael.
The guy, the realism or the nihilist, whatever.
This pessimist. Yeah, the cynic. And he shows her out of cruelty how the world really is, but she doesn't.
Was a cool Alexandria. That whole thing was
very
cool.
Very cool. And it's not the character I dislike or what happens and how he's used. It's not that, it's literally Carmichael's performance.
You just don't like this guy.
It just feels very like, and I know to a degree everyone's playing it like that in the movie, kind of flat, like, oh yes, everyone talks this way. And
but that's the difference though, is the other characters are believable because they're being those characters. He's being a representation of those characters.
Yeah.
That's my take. It was like,
and he's a comic first and foremost. He's been getting a lot of love out of Hollywood.
It was like Sebastian
though.
In The Irishman, where it's like, this guy doesn't belong in here. Like, it didn't.
I thought Sebastian was believable.
I didn't think so.
You didn't think
he
was believable?
No, it felt like a comic that was like, I'm going to play an Italian gangster role.
Yeah, but Italian gangsters are goons, and so are Italian comics. So I thought
he did it right. He was an angry hothead.
No,
I've met that guy.
This cop, it would be great for a dice game. I was just like, you believe this fucking guy?
I mean, he was no Ray Romano, who was amazing
as the
lawyer.
Yeah. Oh my god.
But hold on. That's interesting about Jared, because I didn't realize it was him.
Yeah.
That guy, but the woman who plays whatever she is, she was great.
Yeah,
she
they
was.
Really
I loved
what
her.
They're doing together. Exactly.
Well,
right?
They're just pushing philosophy on her. I mean, she's learning.
They're just we're the old wise people to drop some.
Yeah, because that boat itself, it's like that. I don't think that boat could exist. Like that thing was.
Well, the whole movie is
massive.
Steampunk. It's got nothing makes sense.
Yes.
You know.
Sure. So there was black and white, and then it goes into like this cotton candy, all this like flowy colors, and then it comes into a little bit like reality, and then at the end it's like supposed to be what real life is. Like she's fully formed as a human.
Right.
I read that. I'm not as smart as Jack Adam.
I read that too.
I mean, the whole movie, she does an excellent job, and it really must require a lot of prior
nipple play.
Nipple play.
Because how are they hard the whole time?
Yeah. How did she train her nipples?
How did she train those nips? Yeah. I still wonder if it's a stand-in nip. I'm not. I got to do some reading.
Maybe a prosthetic. Could have been a prosthetic.
Could have been, dude. Could have been, yeah. But
were you waiting for Ruffalo to turn into the Hulk? Or was that just me?
No, but I was waiting for him to be like, he would be the real antagonist, like violent guy. But then he just winds up being like pathetic.
When
he's pathetic, pretty moron. It's just better. Yeah. Absolutely.
When he goes full pathetic, it was great.
Well, of course he's pathetic.
That's funny. He was really funny in that moment.
Yeah.
It shouldn't work.
Reference.
The Bella, reference should not work, but it does.
Even in the very end, when he brings in the husband, the original husband,
and he's just behind.
Don't look at me, demon.
Yeah, of course, of course, like he should be that, because he is that character from the start. Because he's like, oh, there's this lady I can fully take under my wing.
You've been thrice fucked by the best. It's like this guy sucks.
It's so funny.
This guy stinks.
So funny. That sets up a really good scene when she, right?
When she has sex with
somebody
else, she finally has sex with somebody else. He is pretty good.
And she's like, well, no, but you should like this. As a scientist, which she is.
Yeah.
So I definitely, there's definitely, did you like all the sex? Were you okay with it?
I was fine with it.
Yeah. There's a lot of sex.
Well, the movie kind of, The movie is definitely, you know, by women for women, ha-ha-ha, sure. To a degree. But, yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, definitely feminist.
Except for the director.
Yeah, except for the director. Fucking weirdo.
No, he got enough.
Yogurt.
But
Yogurt Jaksimov.
But besides the...
Wait a second. Yogurt Jaksimov.
Yogurt Jaksimov deserves a...
Something.
So it is a woman. It's life experienced through a woman, but it is still life. So yes. It's kind of like... She sees how bad the world can get through Gerard Carmichael's character, but she's happy for it in the end because she's like, well, now that I know the world, I can try to make the world better. And relationship, it deals with everything kind of in life all through. So
she hits him with a hard one. You're just a scared boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was good. That woman that he's with, I mean, that's who she ends up being at the end of the movie. And if you think about, you know, like what that woman represents on the boat. I mean, Emma Stone is like, you know, puts that woman on top, and that's who she is. And if you think about it, I don't know if it's on purpose, but like the only really two black characters in the movie, Gerard and the other woman's name. That's her
Parisian friend, yeah.
They're back. I mean, the end of the movie, she's reading a book and her friend is next to her. And then when she meets the lady on the boat, it's like she's reading a book and then her black friend is next to her too, where it's like she goes back to that like height of
being open to life, being open to everything, improving yourself. That's part of but just circling back to the sex thing, that is so much of life. I mean, like, so much of people's brain just goes to thinking about, in some degree, sex.
Sure.
So sex does have to have a huge thing in the movie. Mm-hmm. I do think at points it's a little egregious.
Right.
But it's also, it's played on for different effects. It's played on for the horror of having to, like...
Right. No, you know, I guess most...
You know, it's also, it's plausible, too, because she didn't have any, like... Shame. No, but, like, she didn't have any, not representation, but, like... There was no, her growing up or like maturing mentally, there was no direction in where to go. Where like if people, like some of, like the, just I'm sure the white, like Irish guilt or like whatever, like when it comes to sex is like, that's bad. Where she didn't have, where like any immature mentally, like mental person like that is going to have those crazy sex adventures because they didn't have any guidelines put upon them by society or their parents.
When someone who's, you know, mentally challenged comes of age to puberty, it's always the thing where it's like, hey buddy, we gotta have a talk.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? Like, and I'm not calling Bella Baxter, you know, mentally challenged, but she is early on in the movie. She's a child.
So she's mentally immature.
Yeah, she's mentally immature. You know what I mean?
And then as she matures, she gets control of that impulse.
Yeah, and she's beaten over the head with the idea of polite society, and that's one reason to control it. Another reason to control it is just to have a little humility, you know what I mean? And just like, not necessarily shame, but like...
But she's free of all those societal pressures when she's exploring all this, and then by the end, she overcomes those, and like comes up through the other side of those, and she empowers herself with it because she actually lived the good and the bad of it.
Right. I learned why sometimes I come home and the apples are so sticky. How'd you guys like that? How'd you guys like the apple scene? I mean, the cucumber, I'm like, yeah, sure, you know.
Sure, cucumber makes sense.
Yeah, it was old as time.
Though. Yeah.
But an apple, I said,
well,
okay.
Maybe the apple is supposed to be the lesbian lover part.
The apple's the first one that goes in.
Maybe the apple's the Eden reference.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. What do you guys think? I've heard people say this is like the shockingness of this is like what Saltburn was trying to do. Did you see Saltburn?
I didn't see Saltburn.
So I've heard this a couple times, and to this I say Saltburn shouldn't even be in the same conversation as this movie. This movie is so much better than what Saltburn was. I mean, it's not even close. They do like the class stuff, and it's the elites, but it's so much more. This movie's great.
Yeah.
You know, if it's compared to that, but it shouldn't be. I think it sort of puts a little, you know, puts too much stank on Saltburn.
Right.
That movie stunk.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like people are just going to, like, people are already forgetting Saltburn.
Yeah.
Saltburn was hot in the pan for like 2-3 months, but that also happens with a lot of fucking Oscar movies, though. You go back to the Oscars every year, and then you go back and look at some of those Oscars in the 90s, like, I don't know some of these movies. Right. Like, this is...
Well,
like
a lot of times,
Sky, like what's
there's like themes that get Oscars too, right?
Yeah.
And this 90s is definitely
big on Native Americans, right?
This is definitely like a, you know, the women first, the not getting whatever, not the anti-slut shaming, whatever you're trying to
say. They hit the women thing hard, but I still feel like Barbie. I tried my argument with Barbie for people who thought it was too woke or feminist. Is I'm like, there's so many like themes in there that just apply to everyone in life, of just like maturing as a person, growing as a person, being okay with who you are and your place in the world. That like, yeah, this movie, I feel like some people wrote it off because of that, hearing what it's going to be about.
All I meant was that I get why I get why the Oscars liked it so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
For those reasons. Yeah. And then I went to the Rotten Tomatoes. Do you guys want to wager a guess? We used to do this. We could bring it back.
I'm going to go 88.
Interesting.
Percent.
For Poor Things?
Yeah, the movie we're talking about?
Yeah. I'm going to go. I think it's in the 90s. You know what? I'd rather do Scooby-Doo 2 starring Linda Cardellini.
I'm a little more well-versed on that.
So I think it's like 90. You guess 90s?
Yeah.
It's 92 from the critics, but it's low 70s from the people.
Low 70s
well, we have to account for people being very stupid.
Well, sure. But I totally understand that.
Well, I can understand why a critic would have harder things to say they didn't like about this film than, again, your average moviegoer.
Well, because
also critics would love to love this movie, to be like, oh, right, you didn't understand that.
Yeah, sure.
And they love the themes, whereas audience is sort of like, why was there so much sex?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get a contingent of people I don't get this.
I bet most audiences that rate it that low aren't even getting through the first hour of it.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't turning it off, I feel like.
How about a duck dog? Anything?
But that's the type of thing where people be like, oh, I don't get it. Why are those animals like that? Why are they there? It's like, are you even fucking paying attention to who Godwin is? He's a fucking crazy, fucked up.
Right. The Frankenstein stuff. So I read this. I don't know. Correct me if I'm fucking this up. But like, Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein. Mm. And apparently she was like this big feminist.
I like how you say you've read all this, and we've definitely watched the same 22-minute YouTube video.
Did I watch the YouTube video?
Oh, I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
Dennis sent it to me. So what do you mean?
When I watch video essays, I say, well, I read something.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know how to read, too, but...
I'll usually go on Reddit and read user comments and pass them off as my own.
So I didn't know yet. But apparently there's like... she wrote some feminist stuff, or her mother was a huge feminist back 200 years ago. So it's like it's consistent with that, with the Frankenstein.
Oh, okay.
I imagine any
female writer with success in any age would be considered probably feminist, you know?
Mary Shelley, I think it was her mom wrote like what's considered to be like the first piece of literature on women's liberation.
She's like considered
and
the
her
feminist.
Mother died 11 days after giving birth to her.
Ooh.
So in a lot of the same way, right. And then once she read that paper, she wrote Frankenstein after that, which I think, I mean, Bella's basically, she's coming up motherless.
Right.
And basically,
I was driving while I was watching this YouTube video. You picked up more. But now that you're saying it, yes, we did definitely watch the same YouTube video.
Okay, interesting.
Follow the podcast.
It's a great video.
Yeah. Shout out to that guy.
You know, just go watch that video. You don't need us.
Well, it's not a review.
Yeah.
Don't call
it
a review podcast.
It's not a review. It's a comedy podcast about a movie that we watched.
I laughed a lot.
So what were those? B's? C's?
What?
Pieces?
Oh, whoa. Oh. Crass.
I'm bringing the comedy back.
I'm thinking A's.
Crass.
I was thinking B's.
If they're anything, they're B's. Yeah. I mean, you know, if they're not A's, but they might be A's.
Well, the thing is, when she's laying down on her back.
Either way, they're A pluses in my book.
What are you going to explain to me how boobs work?
Let me tell you about gravity, fellas. I mean, Emma Stone's a good looking lady. She still looks the same as she did in fucking Superbad, you know?
Yeah.
Wow, Superbad.
I know, right? That's her.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
No, she was great.
She seems like one of those celebrities where if I met her, I'd be like, I think I'd have a shot. You know what I mean? She's funny. I'm funny. I think you guys both burst out laughing at that.
Do you think she deserved Best Actress?
Who was she up against? Because I think this performance was Best Actress worthy, but who was she up against?
Exactly. So Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon.
Didn't see it, but I'm suspect.
Okay.
Seems like a, you know.
So I wanted Lily Gladstone to win, but I think she won at the Golden Globe, so I'm like, all right, fine.
Okay.
But I do think Emma Stone's performance was Oscar worthy. Yeah. I just wanted Lily Gladstone to win because I loved her performance so much.
Her dialect improving throughout the film was incredibly paced, where by the end of the movie, you're not just like, oh, this woman knows how to talk now. You're like, oh, this woman's smarter than me. Like, this woman is an intelligent, informed
Everything
person.
Was so purposeful and...
This woman's hiding an apple somewhere.
Yeah, right?
It's like that scene in Curb when she steals the Mickey Mantle ball. Do you remember that? All right.
I never saw that one, but I imagine she stuffed it up her apple hole.
Yes. That's what happened.
Gross. I think we should just probably An apple a day on Apple Home.
An apple a day.
An apple a day keeps Emma Stone knocking. Yeah.
So what do you think? Poor things. What do you, the word literally?
Oh, I'm happy you asked that.
Who is it?
It's us.
Me?
It's us watching. We're the poor things. Emma Stone can look at life so simply and just break things down and be like, she gets fucked and she's like, how come people don't do this all the time, just all day long? And it's one of those things where like, well, we kind of do when we can, you know what I mean?
The poor
but
things
you gotta
are
work
the,
and
the
you gotta do stuff.
People that are trapped by the society.
By societal norms and our own brains and overthinking things.
I like
and
that.
We're the poor things.
I like that. Is that what is that your take too?
I really had no clue. I thought it was maybe like supposed to be the things in the garden that got mutilated, but I don't think it, I think the, what the latter half of what you said I agreed with. Like that.
What about the first half?
Come on. It didn't put it in perspective for me like the second half did.
Okay.
But the people that have the societal norms guiding their lives on an everyday basis are the poor things.
Yeah.
That's I agree with that.
Nice. That's great. I'm glad someone had an answer because I really didn't.
I think so.
Until you said that, I really had no idea.
Yeah. Because you think it's this zombie girl.
Right.
But it's not. She winds up all right. You know what I mean? Even against all.
Yeah.
And that's something, too. That's another thing in the movie where it's like, life is hard. Life is going to throw shit at you. Everyone's going to get some things to overcome. You might not get as bad as somebody else, but like everyone's got trials and tribulations and, you know, just try to help each other. She's a socialist in the movie that never
eventually
it goes away. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, I'm surprised that hasn't gotten attacked by people who would.
What, the socialism? But that's at the very end. That's like the final.
Yeah, but it's like her idea being like, socialism, help people. Everyone gather and help each other and be like kind of a, you know.
Yeah, right.
Everyone move the fucking species forward.
Right, right.
But socialism is such a hot word, you know. But it's also, it's Europe. It's different over there than when you bring up that word over here, I think.
Well,
a little.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And at that time, I guess socialism didn't have such negative connotations as it maybe does now.
No, it was more experimental. It was like
right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and that was what she was all about. She was all about the experiment.
The experiment.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, poor us is gonna have to watch Rotten Tomatoes next.
Fried
Green Tomatoes.
Why did we pick that one?
I think that was the women and women first.
Oh yeah,
pick.
That's why, right?
But we didn't realize we had the sleeper hold in Poor Things.
I hit up Jack Adam. I was like, "You good for Poor Things?" Somebody's like, "Yeah." I hit up Mike. Mike's like, "We're supposed to be Fried Green Tomatoes." I was like, "We're pushing the tomatoes. Hold the tomatoes. I need it my way."
Hold the tomatoes is right. Why does it always come to me? And why does it come to me so goddamn early? How about you, Dennis? Did you like the fucking movie?